And open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We continue our reading of Matthew's Gospel. Today we read Matthew 5, 1 to 16. This is, of course, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Let me make a few comments before we read. First of all, that this begins Jesus, or actually it began at the end of chapter 4, but the beginning of Jesus' Galilean phase of his ministry, after his baptism, after being led into the desert to be tempted by the devil, Christ went to Galilee, and he began preaching and performing miracles, and he gathers a band of disciples. There's a 12, but a much larger group of people. Now, the gospel writers make a very deliberate analogy between Jesus' Galilean ministry and the Exodus led by Moses. And that this is, by the way, this endorses, you'll see it very strongly in Matthew's gospel, but in Luke as well, and John, the idea that what happened in the Exodus is a model of what happens in our salvation. They were delivered by the power of God's grace from the bondage of misery. We have been delivered from bondage to sin. And then this present life is a journey, a time of testing in the wilderness. We're weak, but he is strong, and we follow him. And of course, here with Jesus, he's the true Moses. They went into the promised land following Moses, but he was pointing to Jesus. We follow Jesus, and we will pass into the age to come and into heaven through faith. This is the macro model, and Jesus is the true Moses. We are the true Israel, the church, and he saves us, and we follow him. Now, secondly, we begin here the Sermon on the Mount, which is Jesus' teaching of the kingdom ethics of his kingdom. And as Moses at Mount Sinai went onto the mount and delivered God's law, there's an analogy here. Jesus, we're told, he went up on the mountain. It may have been geographically a mountain, but it's primarily thematic. And there is a kingdom ethic. Now, many Christians today dislike the idea that there's a law to Christianity. There's an ethic that Jesus is going to teach, but he's going to teach it. Why? Because he is the Lord. And Israel was not saved by the law. They were saved to the law. Thank the Lord that Moses did not show up in Egypt, at the mud pits of Egypt with two tablets. Moses did not say, listen, when you keep all 10 of these, we can talk about your deliverance. No, he saves us by grace. And when we've been saved by grace, then he takes us to the mountain. And he says, here's how I want you to live. So it is for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to embrace gracious Christian obedience by the power that he gives us. And notice here in what are called the Beatitudes that at the heart of this is not so much what we do that's important, but it's what we are. We're going to read today the Beatitudes, and you and I will spend the rest of our lives marveling at these verses. I actually have an aspiration to preach Matthew, and I'm sure when I do, I will preach at least one sermon on each of them, because each one of them is worth hours of reflection, and we will have a lifetime. But this is what we're to enter into. This is what Christ is like. It's a picture of the heart of God. It's the work he's doing in our lives. Notice the priority on what we are. It's the Beatitudes. And what we become, the work of the Lord in our heart, in godly, gracious, holy characters, is of primacy. Now, you may be wondering why I'm reading to verse 16. The famous passage, you're the salt of the earth. Of course, salt's a preservative. We have that role in the world. You're the light of the world. And the reason I am is it all goes together. Notice that it's you who are the light of the world. And Christ is the light, but he shines his light. We're the lamps, as it says elsewhere. And it's as we develop Christian character, do we realize how important is the work of God's grace within us? And yes, it's by our good deeds that God is going to be glorified. But he says, you, as our lives conform to these wonderful Beatitudes, it's in that way that we shine the light that comes from Christ, that they see him in God's work in us. Well, I will stop there. Let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, Matthew 5, 1 to 16. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God abides forever. Amen.